email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 51551. Now, depending on which way you look at it, today or tomorrow is a big anniversary. It was the Thursday before St. Patrick's Day that Leo Varadkar made that speech. And it was the day Thursday before St. Patrick's Day that the WHO declared coronavirus as a pandemic. So it's been a mad year, or even 364 days. And we got to talk to Patrice and Paul Hosford way back during lockdown, because they had given birth to little Tom tomorrow last year. And Patrice and Paul are back on the line. Good afternoon to you both.
Hi, Ray.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Did I get those facts right? It is tomorrow or today is the birthday?
Today's the birthday.
Oh, today's the birthday. Sorry. So you it was the 11th then that you you went in and gave birth to Tom, Patrice, and then Leo made the speech that day and announced that the schools would be closed from the next day. Wasn't that it?
That's it. So we kind of were, I suppose, one of the last few that kind of got the sense of having a normal experience in the hospital when having a baby, that you weren't kind of waiting for it to get to a delivery suite before your partner could join you. So we kind of got in just in time, because I was due to be induced on the 12th. So yeah, we said we really did just get in on time, because on the 12th, when we were in on the ward the next day, and like that, partners were still allowed in. They changed it. They came around and told Paul, once you leave, you won't be let back in till I'm discharged. And yeah, that was when we kind of went, oh, this is serious. Like, before that, we knew there was changes in the visiting restrictions where they weren't going to let the partners in for outpatient appointments or scans and stuff like that. But you kind of naively think, oh, that's only for the first 2 weeks.
Yeah,
it's bad, but like, it's only a week or two. And then they suddenly changed it and they were like, no, once you're in having a baby, they'll let you in for once you're in the delivery suite. But after that, partners or the nominated person would be sent home.
Yeah, we forget it got very serious very quickly, didn't it?
Very quickly. Like, yeah, I remember, I think it was the Friday before we had Tom, where they changed the restrictions that it would only be the nominated person would be allowed in when you had the baby. And we were a bit like upset, like I wouldn't get to see my mum and dad. But we were like, oh, look, it's a day or two in hospital, that's not that bad. And my sister-in-law said when she had her second child, it was the swine flu and the same thing. And she's like, look, it sounds awful, but when you're in the moment, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
And that's what we were comparing it to, swine flu. You're like,
yeah,
that didn't really affect us at all. And now you're like, wow, this is a year later and not a whole lot has changed.
Yeah. And Paul, you're a journalist, so you appreciate, you know, the big stories in the world. And little Tom's birthday now is going to be plagued with anniversaries, isn't he, of the announcement of a pandemic and lockdown, etc.
This is it. I probably talk myself down here, my abilities as a journalist, but I actually missed the announcement that it was a pandemic, because we were in the delivery suite. And it wasn't until I got home that night. I remember kind of collapsing into the bed at about midnight, because Tom was born about seven and they... or half seven, and they asked, or kind of politely shunt you out after a couple of hours.
Yeah.
And I remember just looking at Twitter and seeing that the WHO at their afternoon conference, a press conference, had upgraded to a global pandemic. And even then, like Patrice said, you were like, ah, look, well, sure, what's a global pandemic in this day and age? It'll be a couple of weeks. And, yeah, you know, in the end, it wasn't till the summer that Tom really met his grandparents or his aunts and uncles. So,
yeah, and we've spoken to loads of people, and obviously everybody's experienced this differently, and I can see the benefits for ye two in that, you know, this very special time with your first baby, and we hear about bonding, and you were there and available, both of you, to bond, Paul.
Yeah, like, one of the things, and I've said this a few times to people throughout the year, for me, is that when Patrice was on maternity leave, I would have been in normal times in and out of town. And the thing is, look, you know yourself that journalism, and particularly at that time, we were covering the likes of government formation and yeah, then the pandemic through the summer. So there are long hours, but there was 2 hours of the day that I was getting automatically because I was mostly working from home. And that means that, you know, I was available to help with bedtime or with you know, him in the mornings or just even to ease that load a little bit. But for me, it meant 2 extra hours a day with him as he, develops all of these things. And one of the things that people don't really tell you about kids is that they develop in these really sudden bursts. You know, they kind of store up their personality, and then all of a sudden they have new tricks and new things that they're doing. And so I didn't miss any of that in his first year. And for that, look, the last year has been really hard for everybody. But personally, for me, I'll probably look back on this year with him and say, look, that's the one good thing that we were able to take out of it.
Yeah. What's he like, Patrice? What sort of personality does the little man have?
Absolute divilment. His favourite thing is to cause trouble, as you can hear him shoot. Yeah, because I'm not throwing the balloon quick enough to him.
Right. Okay.
But like, he's so funny. He's full of cuddles. Like, his favourite thing is just to crawl up to you and wrap his arms around your neck and give you the biggest hug. And even like most of his experience of like his grandparents and aunts and uncles has been through a phone, just with the way things are even now still. He kisses the phone. He gives him big smiles. He's like learning tricks. I know he sounds like a dog when I'm saying that, but he's reacting to what we're asking him to do. And he's discovering the world. Like today, he discovered Alexa. Like it's beside our bed, and he just taught this. He's obviously been watching us where we're kind of asking her to play songs. And this morning, he just spent the whole time leaning forward, trying to talk to us to get it to play a song.
Yeah.
Now, he hasn't quite figured out how to say Alexa yet, but give it time.
Of course, he's oblivious, isn't that? And I suppose that's the brilliant thing about babies. Like, and that's why they're very grounding, because, you know, little Tom is oblivious to what's going on in the world. As long as he has mammy and daddy there and he poos and he gets fed, that's happy out.
That's it, 100%. Like, he knows no different. And we've been lucky he's got to go to creche, so he's had some social interactions with other babies.
Yeah.
So I don't feel he's missing out on that side of things. But, like, anyone who's met him or got to see him, they said is he's a very happy baby. And I suppose that's all you can ask for.
Yeah,
like, whether it's a pandemic or normal times, you just want your baby to be seen as happy and content. And hopefully he stays like that.
So Paul, balloons there. So there is a party. Is it ongoing or what's is there a
well,
cake?
Well, we just brought him home and we went. So I went and got him from creche, and we'd gone and got him one of these Mylar balloons, and he came in and had an absolute freak attack the second he saw it, and I had to take it out of the room. So the effort wasn't appreciated as much.
Yeah. Hey, you, as a journalist, looking back at the year, you know, what was the big story? I know you were involved in Golfgate, weren't you?
Well, just that I was involved in reporting it.
Yes,
not
that's what
not
I'm saying.
That I was in the room.
Yes. I should have specified, but yeah. Go on.
Yeah. So I suppose that and it's hard to, we were talking about this the other day as a team in the Examiner, we were saying that everything that you do at the moment just has COVID at least running through it. And, you know, as a journalist, it gets not boring, but, you know, you're covering the same story again and again and again.
Yeah.
But people are really interested because it affects them in a very, very real way. You know, it's not one of those abstracts that, you know, you think, how does this affect people? And you have to explain it. This affects people because they can't leave their homes. They can't see their families. And so, you know, the individual stuff, the Golfgate and some of the larger announcements, you do feel like that they were major milestones. But when we look back between this day last year and today and whenever this ends, all we'll talk about is the pandemic and the things that we took from it.
Yeah. And you just started your job in the Examiner at the beginning of March last year. Is it my imagination, or is there something happening in the Examiner? There's an energy around it. Is there?
Yeah, well, I like to think so. Yeah. I think that Tom Fitzpatrick, our editor, started the beginning of last year, and that, you know, a couple of new faces came in, but there's just a great team there. And I think that's really all it comes down to is having really, really good journalists who want to tell really good stories.
And Patrice, what do you do?
I work in the world of AML within Royal Bank of Canada in Dublin. So thankfully it's meant that I could work from home once my maternity leave ended, and I came back swinging. In fairness, it's been all go since I came back, and I thankfully love it. But thankfully COVID hasn't had too much of effect on it, other than we're working from home and kind of, you don't, I've a few new members on my team that I've never met.
I'm just wondering, because, you know, the the birth of Tom coincided with the beginning of lockdown, that when eventually we do come out, and we will come out of lockdown, it's going to be particularly for people like you, because your world has changed quite considerably with your first child, and then it's been this way for a year, and then when we come out into normal, it's going to be challenging enough, is it, Patrice?
I think so. Like I had said to Paul when this all kicked off, I was like, I don't know if this is going to hit me till I go back to work. And my naivety at the time was, will I be out of lockdown by the middle of summer and we'd be done with it, and it probably just won't hit me in it kind of when I look back on it. But it did hit me when I went back to work, because that was my first taste of, I suppose, the new normal of what life is like with having a baby and working. But when we go back to non-lockdown times, it's going to be even, I say, another shock to the system, because I'd be thinking about a commute. I would be kind of working out if Paul and I need to work late, have we got someone to collect them?
Yeah.
Where now at the moment, you're just, I'm at home, I grab them from creche, and if I have to log back in the evening, you log back in the evening, and it's, you're not kind of having to plan too far ahead.
He's a great pair of lungs in him.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what he's given out about. I think he's just discovered he can make that volume.
I just, before I let you go, is there a plan to, you know, a big party to introduce Tom to the extended family and friends?
We had initially hoped that, we had done a small civil ceremony back in 2019 when we got married. We had to postpone our big wedding, and the plan was that was going to be the big introduction to everyone in September last year.
Right, okay.
And that was pushed out because of COVID, and it was meant to be the end of May this year. And again, we were like, look, we'll make a big fuss. We'll do something for Tom, and we'll do everything properly. And that's been pushed out again because of COVID. So we're hoping we don't have to wait till next year before we can have a big party for him. But we'll have to wait and see. But I think everyone's saying that he'll be like the Queen. He'll get two birthdays.
Yeah, no, not more than two now, because, you know, the little princess who wanted more birthdays and eventually became boring. You know that story. Well, you'll get to that because you're a new parent. Yeah. Okay. So enjoy the rest of the day. Happy birthday, Tom. Patrice and Paul, we'll talk to you again. Thanks very much. Thank you. See you. Bye. Bye. 515511@rt.ie. More texts coming in. I'll get to a few of those now. Let me see. Go back up to the top there. As a parent of a 20-year-old special needs young woman who we are trying to make as independent as possible, we worry every day when she leaves the house. That's during the day. There isn't a hope of her going out at night, says that person. And from a husband, I'm a Dublin husband at home waiting for my wife to come home from work to offer her the biggest apology I can for always dismissing some of those concerns, like locking the car doors when in traffic. And why even when out walking, she would be anxious in certain areas which weren't too well lit. It's not just her being over anxious. I will now be more tuned into such feelings, says that person. And I have two daughters, one 25 and the other 21. And as a dad, I plead with them to be aware of their surroundings. There are bad people in this world as there are good. Well, the good thing is that there are more good than bad. People talk about it's my right to do whatever I want, but we don't live in utopia. That's, yeah. This is a huge issue. To be fair, most men are not a threat, but the fear is still there. If I'm walking the dog, especially at night, I'm inclined to keep pace with other women who are walking, especially younger women, just in effect, keeping an eye out for them. My daughters always ring me loudly when they get into a taxi. Oh, so they talk loudly to make sure the taxi driver knows. And this isn't about taxi drivers, it's about men in general. Even in daylight hours, I will never walk alone anywhere that I cannot see other people for fear of being attacked. This includes walking in a park, on a bench, in a forest, on the mountains, along a canal, etc. There are so many things women cannot do alone due to the constant fear of attack by men. Yeah, I see the head of the Metropolitan Police saying there that she said it was thankfully incredibly rare for a woman to be abducted from the capital streets. And you see, fears don't have to be based in statistics or facts. That's human nature. A man followed me into my hall door one night. I put my key in the door, and when I went to close the door, there he was. I got an awful fright and let him have it, screaming abuse at him, using language I didn't know I knew. He screamed at me and ran away. I was both furious and frightened. Whoa. And as a public service worker who drives the last bus from town, I am glad that there are CCTV cameras on the bus for everyone's sake. I don't feel comfortable when there is a girl who is on her own and she's the last one on the bus. All I want to do is to get her where she wants to go, says that person. And there's more on that. There are far more good men than creatures. But if I had to ask one thing, I'd ask the good men to please start paying attention to other men, please. We women have carried that burden alone for so long. Well, there you go. That's thanks for that, Helen. So you're asking us to pay attention to other men and to be suspicious of them on your behalf. That's good. I like that. 5 on 5 5 on ray@rte.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.